Chapter 43. There had been spirited arguments in the back corridors of the palace about whether or not Meg could or should wear a veil. Not possible, some said. For a divorcee, a veil was thought to be out of the question. But the powers that be, unexpectedly, showed some flexibility on the subject. Next came the question of a tiara. My aunts asked if Meg would like to wear my mother's. We were both touched. Meg then spent hours and hours with her dress designer, getting the veil to match the tiara, giving it a similar scalloped edge. Shortly before the wedding, however, Granny reached out. She offered us access to her collection of tiaras. She even invited us to Buckingham Palace to try them on. "Do come over," I remember her saying. Extraordinary morning. We walked into Granny's private dressing room, right next to her bedroom, a space I'd never been in. Along with Granny was a jewelry expert, an eminent historian who knew the lineage of each stone in the royal collection. Also present was Granny's dresser and confidant, Angela. Five tiaras were arrayed on a table, and Granny directed Meg to try on each one before a full-length mirror. I stood behind, watching. One was all emeralds, one was aquamarines. Each was more dazzlingly stunning than the last. Each took my breath. I wasn't the only one. Granny said to Meg quite tenderly, "Tiaras suit you." Meg melted. "Thank you, ma'am." One of the five, however, stood out. Everyone agreed. It was beautiful, seemingly made for Meg. Granny said it would be placed in a safe directly, and she looked forward to seeing it on Meg's head come the big day. "Make sure," she added, "that you practice putting it on with your hairdresser. It's tricky, and you don't want to be doing it for the first time on the wedding day." We left the palace feeling awed and loved and grateful. A week later, we contacted Angela and asked her to please send us the chosen tiara so we could practice putting it on. We'd done research and we'd spoken to Kate about her own experience, and we learned that Granny's warning was spot on. The placing of the tiara was an intricate, elaborate process. It had to be first sewn to the veil, then Meg's hairdresser would need to fix it to a small plait in her hair. Complicated, time-consuming, we'd need at least one dress rehearsal. For some reason, however, Angela didn't respond to any of our messages. We kept trying. No response. When we finally reached her, she said the tiara would require an orderly and a police escort to leave the palace. That sounded a bit much. "But all right," I said, "if that's protocol, let's find an orderly and a police officer and get the ball rolling. Time is running out." Inexplicably, she replied, "Can't be done." "Why can't it?" "Her schedule was too busy." She was being obstructive, obviously, but for what reason? We couldn't even hazard a guess. I considered going to Granny, but that would probably mean sparking an all-out confrontation, and I wasn't quite sure with whom Granny would side. Also, to my mind, Angela was a troublemaker, and I didn't need her as an enemy. Above all, she was still in possession of that tiara. She held all the cards.